Council, January 10th, Pledge of Allegiance. Bobby, would you like to do the honors, birthday boy?
Ready? Begin.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You can be seated. County staff, would you please call the roll? There he is, an excused absent. Eric Dwight.
All present.
Alexis Federico. Present. Alex Maslin. Robert McDonald.
Here.
Michael Radigan.
Here.
Evan Vargas. And Stephanie.
Here.
And we have four. Wonderful. All right, a couple of reminders for today's meeting. Please set all phones to mute or vibrate at this time for the duration of the meeting. We will now proceed to the agenda. The agenda contains a brief description of each item to be considered. Except as otherwise provided by law, no action shall be taken on any item not appearing on today's agenda. Public comments must be within the subject matter jurisdiction of this Orange County Veterans Advisory Council and will be limited to 3 minutes with county staff taking time. It looks like we have one public comment. Do we have any more? Hey, got the speaker request for Luis Rodriguez. At this time, members of the public may address the board council regarding any agenda item or off-agenda item within the subject matter jurisdiction of the board, provided that no action shall be taken on off-agenda items unless authorized by law. Again, you have 3 minutes. Luis, would you like to speak?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone.
Oh,
at the Financial County now. Keep up an eye on the clock. My name is Luis Rodriguez, and I'm an employee for the State of California Employment Development Department. And my specific role in the Workforce Services Division is as a local veterans employment program representative. Essentially what that is outreaching to the employer community for the purpose of helping them with their hiring of veterans, military spouses, transitioning service members, and military families. So it's actually, I'm actually a part of a team of disabled veteran outreach program specialist, who's a DVA. So he's essentially the case manager, and on the employer side, we are in the AJCs. How many are familiar with the AJCs? A show of hands. We have one. We have two. All right. So minority. We're located in three different or four different areas. One of them is in Santa Ana, Flower and Civic Center Drive. And then the other one is in Brea. And then we have another one, Laguna Miguel. We're co-located with three different workforce development boards. So Santa Ana has its own workforce development board, Anaheim as well, and then with the county, which covers the remaining cities. One of my roles is to help employers attract and retain veterans. So some of the ways that I do that is by conducting employer workshops. So for example, we have the United States Chamber of Commerce Hiring Our Heroes, who actually is the one to facilitate for employers to register as a SkillBridge program. So we'll be having a presentation for the employer community at the end of March. And we have a government job fair happening tomorrow over in our Brea office. I don't typically stand up and speak in front of people. It's usually one-on-one with employers. So I appreciate your time and thank you.
So much.
Thanks,
Luis. Great. Any additional public comments?
No.
Okay, that concludes the public comment section of the agenda. We'll now move to the presentation portion of the agenda. Our Presenter today is Antoinette Mazurek from Veterans Legal Institute. Antoinette, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
It's a pleasure. Do I need to stand up there?
You might be wherever you want.
Okay, well, I'm going to stay seated here because I've been running around all day. Thank you guys for having me. I'm Antoinette Mazurek, Veterans Legal Institute. I know a lot of you guys and have significant history with many of you in the room. Bobby McDonald is the founding board chair of Veterans Legal Institute. Alexis has taken many veteran cases in the past. I worked with Stephanie on local legislation. Ben and I used to work together. If you guys don't know, Ben is a recovering attorney. I'm so jealous. I bask in, Bobby wears my loops on BLI bags. Jealous of Ben. Or escape him a lot. Guys laugh, it's true. Veterans Legal Institute has significant history with, in particular, the Orange County Veterans Service Office. So for the last 10 years, Veterans Legal Institute is going into its 10-year anniversary. We have received Prop 63 funding to operate a clinic on site here and also, especially since COVID, virtually for the veterans here. But even prior to that, when I was in AmeriCorps working for 3 years at the Public Law Center, I established a clinic working here. So we've always served veterans on site at the Veterans Service Office because they might have barriers to transportation. It's just easier sometimes for them to receive the help that they need, either at the VSO or at the VA hospital, which we're also co-located at. It's easier for them. Veterans Legal Institute is also one of the founding members of the Orange County Veterans and Military Families Collaborative. And so because of that, I think we are the premier legal provider for veterans in Orange County. Not because we're amazing, which is true, mostly because we are free. Our services are completely free. They're pro bono. We don't take a contingency. Any money we receive for the veteran goes to the veteran. We only service Orange County, Riverside County, San Bernardino County. And we've, in the last year, taken on parts of Central California to include Tulare and other areas up there and parts of LA. We do not service San Diego, unfortunately. And the way veterans hear about us, we do absolutely zero advertising outside of our own social media at this point, is through other service providers typically. They can apply directly online on our website, vetslegal.org. There's very little red tape. They have to qualify via their income. We only help out low-income veterans, which interestingly enough for California is a higher amount. So a lot of people from out of state will be like, that's not low income. I'm like, welcome to California, red guys. It's crazy. And they also have to have a legal issue that we can service. So for example, we don't provide criminal law services because the public defender provides those. We only provide services in areas where there truly is a hindrance to the access to justice. So if an attorney will take your case on contingency and it costs you nothing, we won't take your case, because you don't have a problem getting legal services. We typically take cases that are complex veteran benefit appeals, discharge upgrades, estate planning for older adults and terminally ill veterans, bankruptcy, housing, landlord tenant, consumer law issues, and things of the like. So one thing that you guys can be helpful with is we're in our 10th year, we've served over 10,000 local veterans. We have significantly less homeless veterans in Orange County because of Veterans Legal Institute. And the suicide rate in Orange County, I believe, is less, specifically because a lot of people have that their burdens removed by their attorney advocates at Veterans Legal Institute and through other resources that you'll find in our collaborative here. We, our staff is 26 right now. We're on a $2 million budget. So it's a very grassroots shoestring budget. Two of our staff members are paid by outside organizations, and we use over 200 volunteers a year. Half of the staff are attorneys and the other half are admins. That being said, that might sound like a decent sized number. We're receiving over 400 applications for service a month. So you can understand how frustrating it can be when a veteran has an issue, a veteran is in crisis, and we could technically help this issue, but I don't have the people power. Most of my staff is already working 6 to 7 days a week, myself included. In fact, when I heard from Alexis, I was in Aruba working. It's just an exotic place to work from. So what I'm asking for you guys is if you see through the county any sort of funding that can bring more access to justice and prevent veteran homelessness, prevent veteran suicide, that you consider Veterans Legal Institute. We do have a proven track record in this county and beyond. We are a national model for other legal aids trying to do veterans legal work. They all come to us and ask for the secret to the sauce, which we willingly share, because why wouldn't we? If you know anybody who wants to volunteer, especially attorneys, we take everybody. We have a chief paper shredder that volunteers and just shreds paper. It's amazing. But especially attorneys, we really need attorney assistance. We do work with law firms like the one that Sis Federico works at to get pro bono attorneys to take on cases, because we can't handle everything in-house. We also do a big gala every year, the month of November, typically the week of Veterans Day. This last one, many of you guys were at, we had over 450 people. The coming one this year is going to be our 10-year anniversary, so it's personally important to me, and I hope for all of you guys to be there to celebrate this gift that keeps on giving in Orange County. And lastly, we're always seeking board members to serve on our board to help us strategize this organization so that we can continue offering these services. So that's a little bit about us, and if you guys have any questions, let me know. I'm going to pass around just our impact report. You can keep it or pass it on. I only have two, and my business card. And you guys can always reach out to me separately, or we could talk here. I'll be here for a few more minutes.
Does anyone have any questions? Oh, going once, going twice.
Not any questions, but I guess for answers.
So what type of legal issues are you seeing that are maybe kind of on the rise in Orange County that you all are having the hardest time addressing, whether it's given lack of funds, the complexity of the legal issues, or other resources?
That's a great question. It's a difficult one to answer because we see such an array of legal requests, but we get a lot of requests, believe it or not. About one third of our practice is discharge upgrades and complex veteran benefit appeals. So the VSO does a great job, especially with initial claims. The VSO is also overworked, right? So if somebody comes in and they've got a claim that might take, I mean, some of our, and they do upgrades technically as well here. We spend between 10 hours to 80 hours per discharge upgrade. The VSO in this building, no matter how much they want to help someone, does not have the time to spend 80 hours per claim. So we have a lot of those, specifically survivors of military sexual trauma that we're assisting, and it's a way that we work hand in hand. We don't compete with the VSO. We basically prefer to take the more complex cases that we can dedicate more time for. So we allocate significant resources and funding for these cases because we know that outside of them paying $10,000 to a private attorney, they're not going to get that assistance anywhere else. After that, I would say family law. Specifically post-COVID, I don't know what COVID did to everybody's marriage. I know it ended my 20-year marriage. we have a lot of family law requests coming in, and we are one of the only legal aids, veteran or civilian, that provides assistance outside of domestic violence to people who have family law issues. Now, it's limited. We do it in summary dissolution, child support, spousal support, and parenting time, which is custody. And we do one clinic a month with 25 spots. All 25 spots are filled every month. And that is the only clinic where everybody shows up. No one misses their family law appointment. We have two attorneys that are volunteers, Commissioner Vogel and David Price, both who have over 40 years of family law experience, that power that clinic, as well as Stephen Eldred, who's a staff attorney at VLI, who was the he's a former JAG and was the head of child support in Orange County as their attorney, working for us doing our family law. So we have a very robust family law unit. It's probably our most successful long-term discharge upgrade unit at VLI. I mean, we're seeing an increase, unfortunately, in demand for this service. And there is no alternative to VLI in this case.
I'll just point out that I don't think many people, maybe you'd want to say a little more about how complicated it is to get an upgrade and how difficult it is, and that it's not just the hours spent preparing. I know I did a name change that Antoinette helped me with, and just getting my DD214s updated with my name took 11 pages of paperwork, type paperwork. And then they, you know, initially rejected it for a reason that was complete BS. And it took an attorney having to fight with them over email to get it done. And they did. And, you know, that took 6 months. So can you imagine if somebody got an other than honorable, and maybe it's because they had, you know, PTSD and related issues. That's a really complicated case. I thank God that you're available help in those cases.
Antoinette, how long did our appeal take with the PTSD?
Years.
Labor, allegedly, and then turns out he called me.
And it's years.
It was when I was Antoinette's student at the Veterans Clinic at UCI. Professor Antoinette, and then
now you're my professor, so you know time changes things.
But that was years. I mean, you called me, I think, last year to tell me that had been resolved in our client's favor.
Yeah,
I mean, that was a
powerful case that you have.
The other thing that's so amazing about what Antoinette BLI has done is that if you look at so many services like housing or employment, a lot of the mental health, you know, healthcare services, mm-hmm. core services have huge government funds behind, you know. And legal services just never has really had that. You've actually, we had to build it from the ground up, but then have been able to actually get some of the government, you know, to realize that it's important to fund it too. You know, and that's a big task, you know, to build that without that big government support. And so that's a big kudos to you and BLI on too.
Antoinette, I know, speaking of discharge upgrades, and you know, we as a board sent a letter to the Board of Supervisors recommending that they take certain action with respect to LGBTQ discharge upgrades. And it's, you know, it's a little, because most of those are federal policies, right? And so, but we can still encourage the Board of Supervisors, you know, bring awareness and stuff like that. So if you can think of legislation or anything like that, I know that you're in contact with plenty of people in this room, but I think that's definitely something you can always evaluate and try to help raise attention with the supervisors.
We would love to see more funding because it's very expensive to do a discharge upgrade, specifically because it's labor intensive. It takes a lot of time and research if you want it done well. To give you guys an idea, across the board years ago, we did a FOA request each branch saying, what percentage of discharge upgrades do you grant? It was between 10 and 12%. So our rate of success at Veterans Legal Institute is around 80%. Now, what that shows you, I'm so angry about the other 20. You guys are like, wow, I'm like, 100%.
That's my OCD. That's my tiger mom coming out. I mean, you're my mom being like an A minus. It's not an A. It's still in my head.
It shows you the difference that, and you guys laughing, but this is my life story. I'm not even joking. That was a real story. That damn A minus. It shows you the difference that having an attorney makes. And what really, sorry for the lack of like attorney language, but it sucks that if you're poor, you don't get what's coming. It is what it is. I don't make up life. This is life. When you're poor, you just don't get the benefits of what somebody who has more money or the opportunity to make money gets. So it is important to have systems and programs and nonprofits in place that fill the void that the government is unable to reach, so that people that have been traumatized or victimized by the system can utilize and empower them to self-sufficiency. And that really is what we do. I would like to see funding for discharge upgrades for deserving veterans. So some people are separated from the military that deserve to be separated from the less than honorable. I think all of you guys served in the military. You know, this is true. There was always those people that you saw that you're like, why are you here? The veterans that we're working with to provide them with an upgrade are deserving. They're vetted by us. They're either survivors of military sexual trauma, combat veterans with post-traumatic stress, veterans who should have been medically discharged, veterans that were discriminated against based on their race, their sexual orientation, their religion. Those are the type of veterans we're looking at. We're not looking at, you know, the person who popped top twice in the 80s for cocaine use and served 4 months and wants to get, this is a true story, but I only use true stories, by the way, when I talk, people laugh. This was an actual potential client that came. We don't give services to those people. We give services to people that really fell through the cracks of the system. And that happens in any large bureaucracy, whether it's the VA or DOD or Social Security or whatever. That's what happens as organizations grow.
people fall through the cracks. We're here to support them. So I wish it was just the LGBTQ plus community. It's greater than that. So we definitely need to look at that. And in particular, I feel strongly about survivors of military sexual trauma, both male and female, because we do have a lot of requests for that. And there's often a comorbidity too between the two. So I'll talk forever about this. And I know you guys want to get home. But most of you have my cell phone number. Otherwise, you all have my business card. I respond to requests for coffee and adult beverages. And
I'm writing that in my notes.
Yeah, you know, please do. Put that in a minute. Make it official. Everybody already knows. But I'm happy to work with any of you. If you guys have any clients, feel free to send them my way. As I mentioned, we can't help everybody because the demand is great. So unfortunately, and it hurts me to say this, but we do turn away deserving veterans. And if you are on Instagram or Facebook or social media, please follow BLI. Urban Valor just did a podcast with me, and it was a 45-minute podcast, and they took out 1-minute snippets. I don't know if any of you saw the videos, but the last 1-minute snippet they did got over 6,000 likes, and it was shared almost 200 times. And now we have just an influx of veterans. But what's most interesting about that is the commentary and how people don't comment on the video, but they're commenting about their own trauma. And it's horrifying to read these comments, that there's this many people out there and their only power or feeling of relief is to let it out on their keyboard saying, "This happened to me. I wish I had something like this. I'm still battling this in the VA. I'm still," and it's horrible. So thank you guys for what you do sitting here and trying to rectify some of the issues that we have in the system.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate it. Thanks
for making the trip.
All right, guys, have a good day. Right.
You like a real bit?
Yeah, it's my completely uplift behavior services. Maybe they'll give me free services. All right, guys.
All right, thanks. Safe travels.
Okay.
All right, moving on to action items. We have one action item on the agenda, which is the annual report of council activities that I submitted. The recommendation on the agenda is to review and approve the 2023 OCBAC annual report of council activities for submissions to the Board of Supervisors. I would like to make one suggested change that I found before it was just a typo, page 7 of 10, I believe, on the agenda package. No, so it's the second page of the letter, subsection 2, meetings. Last sentence of the second paragraph says OCBAC will hold its annual election on November 13th, 2023. That's incorrect, it's 2024. So I would like to make to point that out when we do discuss any changes, if there are any other changes to include those. So a little bit about this, we owe, pursuant to our bylaws, a report of veterans' activities. I think originally people had started including different veterans' events around the county, but just given the massive amounts of events and the fact that they consistently change, and then the fact that each district each supervisor usually has someone that connects with them about events, we made this more into a report of what we did, what we submitted in terms of recommendations to the board last year, what have we followed up with those, and then what we hope to accomplish this year, which is in subsection 4, OCBAC's 2024 goals. So this needs to be voted on at this meeting because it needs to be submitted in time for their February meeting per our bylaws. So I'm assuming everyone, this was part of the agenda packet, had a chance to review. Does anyone, I guess, on first instance, want to make any recommendations for additions or revisions or any type of changes to the letter?
I'd like to make a motion to accept this.
With the amendment. With the 2024
amendment. I second. But you got your hand on my back. I mean, you're speaking for me now? Okay. Right. Finishing my sentences. Yes. So does that mean you're seconding it?
I do.
Oh. So to clarify, I've got a motion from Council Member McDonald to approve the recommended action item with the correction of the date from November 13th, 2023 to 2024. I have a second from member Eric Duane. So does anyone want to discuss this or have any questions?
I think it's nice. No further discussion. It was great.
Okay. All right. So I think I'll go ahead and since there's a motion. Okay. So I will go ahead and put this to vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the motion passes unanimously. Thank you, everyone. And then I'll work with county staff to make sure this is sent to who it needs to be sent to, which I understand is the Board of Supervisors via email. Okay, moving on.
I do have a question on that. Yeah, before we leave this. Do you have an idea when you're going to make the presentation to the board?
So I will likely get up and try to make the February meeting if I can.
All right. Let us know so we can be there.
Okay.
All right. Those of us that can.
Yeah.
You could even call it now that we're free to have meetings. We can call it a special
meeting at the Board of Supervisors.
Move about the aircraft. Yeah.
Okay. Well, yes. So we will, I will go ahead and present this at the next Board of Supervisors.
But you need to get on the docket.
I'll work with county staff to make sure that that happens.
Thank
you. That's communicated appropriately. Yeah. Thank you for the suggestion, the question. All right, to the executive committee report, I think since the last meeting, we've primarily been looking to solidify the letter and the report to the Board of Supervisors. Other than that, again, we've approved this, which states that our next meeting will be in Brea's council member headquarters with the letter. So that's for our next meeting. And that's part of what we have discussed and voted on to try to start moving around. So I would suggest that someone show up at our next meeting with a proposal or a location secured for the meeting following that, which would be the May 8th meeting. So if anyone would like to, again, have that in their district or have a, of course, we have to have it comply with the bylaws so that it's accessible to the public and that we have the capability to record. And then obviously, when we decide that at the next meeting, that'll give county staff appropriate time to coordinate the logistics for that because the people need to attend. So other than that is still 3 p.m.
Okay.
Yeah, still 3 p.m. Yeah. Okay. So that's all for the executive committee report. Moving on to the OCDSO update. Eric, is that you?
That's me.
Okay.
Good afternoon. I know this is probably the third meeting I've been to since I've been here. But I'll be providing an update on behalf of the client who unfortunately was unable to attend today. As you all know, we've been working on our new appointment system. So we, January 2nd, the BSO has worked diligently to update our appointment system to provide additional controls for our office over the triage of appointments, mostly the walk-ins and scheduled appointments. An updated feature includes some of the additional things that staff wanted to point out are the additional time slots that we've added to allow people to schedule appointments and options to choose from whether or not it's going to be in person, over the phone, or a virtual appointment. I think those are really good enhancements for the office. Phase two updates are in the works now. We're looking into how we can include some of the automated text features and reminders to our veteran clients of when their appointments are going to take place. Currently, individuals will receive email notifications of their appointments when they schedule them, and confirming their appointments upon the date that they're going to attend, and the ability to reschedule or cancel any appointments that they may have done. So they'll be able to go into the system, schedule an appointment if they need it. If schedules change for them, then they can always go back in and reschedule accordingly. Done that. We're excited about this new system simply because it's been working and gave us some intel on what was happening with our whole system. I'm super excited that
mention Intel, if I may. So speaking with Claudia last year, trying to get metrics, which I'm chair of that ad hoc committee, she said you guys were in the middle of transition. So my question is, what kind of metrics can we glean from this new system? And I'm very interested in them, and I'm going to be reaching out to you tomorrow.
That's what I was going to tell you. So okay. You should, that opportunity that you guys have, should definitely be reaching out to try to schedule a meeting so that we can have that discussion.
Very good.
Do we have, I know that the I would say the snafus or the deficiencies in the old scheduling system had been creating additional wait time for appointments. You know, and I know that personally because I went on to make an appointment and the wait time was like 4 months. I did. I canceled my appointment. Looking forward to it. No, I did it to see how long it would take to get an appointment and to test the system to see if there was a follow-up and everything, which there was, which was good. But I will say, I know do we have an idea of how long it is taking? And if there are any other actions necessary to try to remedy some of the problems with the earlier system in terms of wait time and accessibility.
Yes, that's actually going to be in the next phase as part of that update part for us, because reality is, because it was so public facing, you know, it was contributing cause of it. And we didn't know there's multiple bookings that were taking place in that system. And we want to clean up and think about a new system. It affords us more control over that system. Whereas before, we didn't have controls there, and lines also were a problem as well.
But do we have, so I probably wasn't clear in my question, do we have any idea of the wait times and what are the, I know you said there's a plan in phase two, but what are we looking at? Like if I wanted to make a brand new appointment for some type of evaluation for a claim, what type of wait times are we looking at for it?
I actually, that's a good idea. I think try it, because I don't know. I can go in. A person came in today, got an appointment for 4 or 5.
Okay.
So it just really all depends on what.
So we're not looking at, like, you don't think we're looking at the same 3 to 4 month waiting that we were previously looking at.
And we still, I mean, I definitely always encourage people to use our walk-in process. We still have walk-ins.
So it's funny you mentioned that, because I know for the past two meetings, we had asked you if they're, not you personally, I will speak to the VSO office collectively, to recommend, well, we assume you guys speak to each other.
So
we recommended that on the website, right, because there could be, if there is a backlog or there are times and we're not even sure right now how long it takes to make an appointment, if the solution to that is, hey, walk in, because I think most people assume that walk-ins, you may not be seen at all, or you might be seen for 5 minutes. And so I think we recommended or suggested that there's some type of language on the website, just in red letters, because there are people with deadlines, right? If your claims period is coming up and you go online and it's a 2 month process, then you think you're screwed. But but if people just walk in, and so having something on the website that if you're facing a deadline or need immediate care, please walk in.
Appointment January 30th.
So just making something like that on the website that just lets veterans know, hey, that you know if you want to be seen, like, walk in. And I know you can't make representations or promises that they'll get seen that day, but I think most people have the perception that, you know, walking in, you may or may not get seen,
because that was the case over a long time.
And we're that's the other thing that we're working on with our communications team, to try and build out our website to make it consistent and show exactly what other wants to see. What those wait times, that's the wait time, but what the walk-in schedule may look like, so they know they can walk through the doors, and it may take 15 to 30 minutes before they see the claim rep. That's not horrible.
It's better than waiting 2 weeks if you're facing a deadline, right?
Yeah. And so that's always something that's available. We're working on trying to figure out what those look like. And the aspect of this new booking systems allows me to have better control over seeing some of that information, so that we can better report out to the community as to what they can actually do. Ultimately, folks are welcome to come into the building and 10, 15 minutes and talk to the staff. If it's an urgent issue, we're always going to see it.
Which makes you unlike a lot of other government agencies, right? I think most people assume, like, hey, walking into the DMV.
So the messaging definitely.
Yeah. Monday is your busiest days?
No, actually, Tuesdays is probably our busiest day.
Because I went to pick up a wheelchair the other day at Penny's place at Patriots Paws, and she introduced me to a couple of veterans there. And I told them, go by on a Tuesday.
Put me on a Tuesday because it's really booked on Monday.
Well, it's adding to the problem.
Yeah.
Well, but the thing is, you know, if you go to urgent care or something like that, usually on Mondays, everybody's coming in from the weekend or something to that effect. So.
And I think Tuesday only looks busiest because we don't open for business until 9.
Oh, okay.
On Tuesdays. And that's why it looks busy by that time. We would have, the claim reps would have seen at least 6 or 7 people before 9:30.
Yeah. But anyway,
those additional time slots were scheduled appointments. Has been tremendous because we were able to ship a lot of points around and get people in. So, continual work in process, but yeah,
I'll send them on Wednesday.
It sounds like you've made substantial progress, you as in the VSO collectively.
That's why I have you been here.
Anything else?
No.
Any other questions for students? Okay. All right. Moving on to the CalVet link update, Mr. Gales.
Happy New Year, everyone. I passed around this flyer. It's a big item I want to talk about today. I've been putting a lot of time in the last couple months, on as large as CalVet, to put together this event at Golden West College. The way that I look at this event is kind of like a stand down with a student veteran focus. And we want to, some of the big events out there, I think, sometimes don't have that student veteran focus, that transitioning veteran focus. And so this event is open to all veterans. We want those special services for those students, you know, that may need them. So, for example, we're going to have VRE, vocational rehabilitation and employment. Very hard to contact a VRE counselor. So we have someone that's called a Vet Success on Campus Counselor. So she's named Calandra Anthony. She's going to be there. We're going to have VA healthcare involvement.
My voc rehab counselor.
Love it.
She's amazing.
Amazing. Yeah. So she'll be there.
I don't hear that very often. Her predecessor wasn't, but she was amazing.
Yeah. And then on the VSO side, we've set it up so that student veterans can pre-enroll to actually meet with the service officer to have a claim filed that very day. And this is the third time we've done an event like this. The first time, just to toot Eric's horn a little bit, we were over at Coastline College. And Eric, the event was literally ending. It was like time to go. The doors were closing. Eric said, I'm not done, you know, because there were student veterans who's literally filing claims on the spot. So that's another example. We're really trying to target, you know, this event for student veterans. And we'll have a whole host of our nonprofit partners there, you know, usual folks, US Feds, Kearney Center, Working Wardrobes, Workforce. So it'll be a good showing. And we already have, I think it was 96 people registered. So we have 3 practice lunch sets. So it's a good 97. Nice, thanks. And so we expect actually a good amount more. So the only thing I ask, if you could possibly share the word on that. We want as many people as possible. You know, we got so many services there, free practice lunch. Should be a great event. And just to piggyback on something Louise said, you know, that that new center in Brea. If you haven't had a chance to tour that, if you want to feel the scope of the service offered, it's really remarkable. I had a chance to get a tour from Doug Willick, who's with the VSO. I'm very impressed at all the different services in the building. Really is something that speaks to respect for, you know, for our veterans and our community to have that kind of facility available for that service. So I wanted to
see. You know, you bring up a very interesting point there. Maybe we ought to consider, Madam Chair, we might want to consider a couple of our meetings at the Laguna and at the Brea so that we can, because there's room there for us to have a meeting, right? There's room there for people to come in and park. I haven't been to Brea yet, neither.
There's like 5 rooms for meetings. There's like 5 rooms for
meetings. Yeah. Well, I mean, but I have been there. Yeah, that's true. But I mean, I've been to Laguna. Yeah. But we ought to go there for our meetings that way, because at least that way we would know, and it gives us a chance to speak from within. No, hey, with knowledge, we've been there. That's a thought.
Maybe for the May meeting.
May, yeah.
Yeah.
And then,
since we have the next meeting already set.
Oh, yeah. I'm not talking about the one we got to come up with, Vargas has got, but the one after May. That. Yeah. Do one in May, then we got July, and then
think
September.
Yeah. Who do we connect with for logistics to coordinate that?
I think Eric could leave that through Doug or anyone. Yeah.
Okay.
For anyone. So let's.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
So if we should just send you, I can just send you an email.
Or send it to Monica.
Okay.
And then we'll getting it to the director.
Yeah, I know they have the rooms there to accommodate us.
That's a great idea. And you said Laguna is one, and is there another?
Yeah.
Well, we're doing great. It's excellent. Yeah.
Laguna, that would be the only two that I knew.
Okay, right? We can
find you. And other email address. There's
Los Al. Los Al.
Set myself a reminder.
Okay. Well, Los Al will be those if we've got a spot.
Right now.
It is.
I'll
speak.
Okay. I'm already planning to attend the stand down. Do you have any social media on it? Because that way I can't publicize this.
Great.
Our rules are if I have a social media post, I can put that out.
Yeah,
like somebody else.
Yeah, let me you do. And I'm probably doing an account then, but let me follow up on where that
would be.
Is.
Yeah,
that'd be awesome. Send that to us, that would be great.
Anyway, thank you for thinking about that. Big turn that up. That'd be a great night to keep doing those passes.
So we have 18 service providers registered for that.
Great. Great. Anything else? Any other questions? Okay, moving on to OC for vets.
I have the biggest update is I'm back. I haven't been at the meeting since we were virtual. So it's very strange person. So my updates would be for not necessarily just my program, but also maybe if there's any healthcare agency updates. One thing that I can say for our veteran services updates that I haven't been able to provide is that healthcare agency has our mental health and recovery services has gone through reorganization. And the veteran services, where we had our OC for vets, which is our mental health program, we provide individual therapy case management. And then our court support for vets, our collaborative court programs, which includes Veterans Treatment Court, a military diversion, and the family court, domestic violence diversion. So the court programs got split off from the mental health programs into two different service areas. We still keep very connected. So the services are not different. We just moved into service areas through the reorg. With this, there's more interaction between our managers and the staff, so to have so that we can work together a little bit better. And so that was sort of the purpose of the reorg. But just a heads up on veteran services with healthcare agency, that's what happened with our services. We got split. I keep in close contact because that was my program before I lost the court part. So that's still very near and dear to my heart. So that's one update. The other thing that I have is I also have flyers for an event that one of our contracting providers through US Vets Outside the Wire. That's the college student program that's on 8 campuses around Orange County. They are having the Veterans Recreation and Resource and Recreation and Resource Expo. So this is more of a fun event combined with resources and some different things than traditional resources. So there's like scuba diving or like equine therapy resources. Those people are going to be there. So some different, so in addition to the CalVet, one which I have to say that's a really good event. Last year was my first one, I have to say. We helped a lot of people and I have a whole story of that.
Sorry, I'm feeling actually you're going to be there.
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, I will be in and out of there, but we definitely are going to have a table that's going to be well staffed. And that event is near and dear to my heart because there was a person at that event that came to our table. I didn't have to see, I didn't have to hear what happened. Like, I just felt like that guy needed help. So my staff engaged him. And we actually still see that person now and is doing better. Like that is a person who had suicidal ideation, was really down in the dumps, really going down the toilet, trauma during his service. In addition, a couple of weeks before that event, his girlfriend passed away. So, but yeah, that was just one of the people that we helped that day. But that one was near and dear to my heart.
I can say that personally, Marine that I went, a friend Marine that I went to boot camp with and eventually had some trauma in his life and reached out to me. I referred him to you guys and you literally saved his life. So.
Oh, thank you for sharing that.
I'm very grateful for that because I think he was at the end of his rope. And when he reached out to me, that shows how desperate he was. But referred him immediately to you guys over there. Kevin Alexander is who I immediately called and he tied him right in and he's been with you guys since. And so life-saving services.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, not because I praise me, but like for my staff.
Yeah.
We are one position down, but I'm about ready to fill it. So that's exciting to me to know we can help more people. We don't have a wait list any, and we did have like some time back, but it's my goal to help everybody that comes in as soon as possible. So regardless of what they need, we will try to help them out. So, but I want to share this flyer for everybody to attend. That one is February 2nd.
How big is your staff?
Right now I have 3 clinicians and I will have a 4th. We collaborate closely with our contracting provider who work with wardrobes, our peer navigators, to do a lot of the community integration. Clinicians also do a fair share of their case management, but it's primarily like the clinical case management to link up to other like mental health or medical type services. Our other county contracted to help our veteran families, the strong families, strong children. And then that's wire, as I mentioned, outside wire program. So we're out there trying to help because the suicide situation is serious. And so we want to be able to help those people. One last update. For any a lot of talk about the MHSA monies and how they're moving it around and changing it. So if anyone is interested, the next planning advisory committee meeting is the 18th this month from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's virtual. You can either email me, hit me up directly, and I can send you the email with the QR codes or the Zoom link, or you can email MHSA at OCHCA to get the information, to get the Zoom link, or you can call over to their office at 714-834-3104. I didn't get to go to the last couple of meetings, so I don't really have an update on like what they have to say for that. I know it's on the March primary to be voted on, whatever they came up with, because I know they were changing it there for a while. So. But it is going to affect services, so want to keep up to date, and I figure a lot of people might be interested in that. So that's it for me.
Thank you. Moving on to the committee portion of the agenda. First report, we have the Communications Standing Committee report. Council Member Burke is not here. We do not have a committee report. I don't think anyone from the committee is here.
Yes, they are.
Yes. Do you ever report?
Yes, they are.
Sorry about that.
No, hey, no problem. I was going to skip over, but I said, no, I'll be nice. John and I have had a chance to talk about a couple of things we're working on. We tried to send some material stuff out for Veterans Day. He said, so I know we did that, and we're just kind of waiting now to get going again. He's been out on business, so I haven't had a chance to hook up with I sent him a bunch of stuff. We're working on it. There's a couple other things we got under our sleeves. So I got on my sleeve that we're going to share together. So.
That's great. Well, thank you. And thanks for All right, moving on to the Events Outreach Standing Committee report, Council Member Radigan, and his report, which he submitted, is in the agenda packet.
Two items that I want to highlight here. One is an update to the first task, which is meeting with the County Council tomorrow at 1 o'clock. I'll be meeting with them. discuss basically what we can do, what we can broadcast and can't rebroadcast, and over what media. So hopefully we'll get a little better guidance from the county on what we're able to do for that. And then towards the bottom of the page was a new resource that I wasn't familiar with, but for things for veterans that are free here in the county, vet tickets is a really interesting resource. And you sign up for them and they'll get you tickets to sporting events or concerts or whatever. And it's all free. So that's one that I think would be a good one to amplify for the community, that that's available to them. Pretty easy sign up process.
There was a
brand's tickets to try.
Thank you. Any questions, Ravens Outreach Committee? Thank
you. Just one quick comment, Mike. I think that's great. I mean, last year we tried to get this going through the collaborative.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't quite hit. So I'm not saying I'm trying to forget that possibility, but I'm happy to see you maybe run.
Yeah, let's see what internal resources are already available. We've got a website, we've got a calendar on the website. What can we can't do on the website? Start with the stuff that's already funded and available.
All right, moving on, VSO Metrics Ad Hoc Committee, Councilmember Dwayne.
Yeah, you heard earlier the conversation. Yeah, that's, we tried to engage last year, but Claudia had mentioned that they were in the middle of a transition, so we weren't going to be able to get our hands on any metrics until they got into the new system. So I'm going to be engaging tomorrow to see if we can get a meeting set up and try and find the metrics. If there's any specific metrics that you think we need to get, please email me or text me or message me.
Or we can talk about it right now.
Okay,
we want to, not that that would be a bad idea.
Yeah.
It's just we want to be careful with the Brown Act.
Got it.
So, which... we will get a presentation at our next meeting from County Legal about the Brown Act. But in the interim, if anyone, we can take an opportunity now to talk about metrics. If you have any on your mind, you can suggest them as a possibility for the ad hoc committee to look into, or we can also discuss this at the next meeting as well.
I mean, just some of the basic ones when they put their first submission out there, when they first got their meeting.
Yeah.
Case was closed, you'd be able to hit all those timestamps, and then you can start to analyze where your bottlenecks are.
And just separating the numbers for the online services, which change things dramatically. I mean, the online services are great. The county's been a leader in automating as many things as possible. When we're asking about wait times, we're worried about people who have cases, claims that they want to get through. And we need to, it sort of confuses the stats when in the past, you know, the big boys lump those all in together.
Like the driver's license stuff, which is
right. Driver's license and the tuition fee weathers. I mean, those are important. I'd like to see how many we're doing those, but like, let's set them in three different boxes.
And it also allows us to continue to pat the VSO on the back and share with other counties the fact that the college fee tuition waiver program online has been so successful and how quick we are in processing, fee waivers, and then be able to figure out, like you said, where the, with the claims issues, if there's any like that there. Anything else? And we can think about it the next meeting. I mean, I feel like this is an iterative process. So you're going to come back and then
it's going to be adaptive.
Yeah.
So absolutely. I'll forget something and then you guys will fix it. Yeah. All good.
Well, we appreciate it. Okay. Moving on to council comments. At this time, members of the council may make comments on agenda or non-agenda matters, provided that no action shall be taken on non-agenda items unless authorized by law. Okay. Does anyone want to, we'll start off with.
Yeah, the one comment that I had from looking through the report that's going up to the county supervisors in section 4 that talks about goals, I think it's awesome to have. One thing I would like to maybe see plussed up, talk about it at the next meeting, it's like, how do you measure those things? Great to have the goals, but if we have no metric to see, if we accomplish it at the end of the year, I'd like to have some things that help us show that we move the needle forward.
Quantitative and qualitative.
Yeah. So there should be some clear things so that you can report back. And the supervisor asks, what did you guys do this year? Hey, we said we're going to do this. Here's what we accomplished. So that would be one thing to consider for adding to this.
We won't add it to the letter, but it's a, I understand what you're saying about having it. I think the first step, right, getting it in writing and then developing how we're going to keep track and holding ourselves accountable this year. I certainly like that. And if you have any ideas with respect to metrics or anything like that, obviously these are kind of, this is my intent, but absolutely, you know, as a board, any goals that we want to set for ourselves this year, you know, please feel free to, you know, raise them. And we can always, like, look, if you're ever sitting back there thinking, well, we shouldn't be doing this, or I want to talk about why, we always put stuff on the agenda as a discussion item as well, or action items.
Nobody's going to be upset with the different goals that got met at the end of the year.
Yeah, like, oh, we did too much, said no government-related organization ever. Except the Board of the Supervisors, I'm sure they exceed their goals all the time. Okay, so somewhere from McDonald's.
Yeah, a couple of things. Number one, just an invite again. I just did last time, but every second Friday,
be there
at the VFW in Adam. It's steak night, and it's $10.
Ribeye, right?
Well, yes.
They're advertising. I'm going
to
be there.
That's what it says. That's what it says. I just do whatever I need to do. But as an example, the last steak night we did, which was the time before, November 10th, which was the Marine Corps birthday, all right, we served 267 steaks. People said they couldn't get in the parking lot, and we've got spots for about 100 some odd parks. But also, the Small Business Diverse Network had their Veterans Day too with us, and so they brought close to 100 people. So the community knows about it, and it's a little fun thing for us to be more involved with the community and for veterans, just to mix and mingle and talk. So it goes from about 4 to 8 or 9.
Yeah.
That's $10. So I just wanted you to know that this is a going concern. Number two, as some of you know, I chair the Advisory Committee for Minority Veterans for the VA in Washington, D.C., which is part of the Center for Minority Veterans. And so from February 19th to February 24th, I will be back in D.C. For that meeting. What's going to be unique about this meeting is two things. Number one, we'll be meeting the National Association of Veteran Directors, State Veterans Directors. They're going to be having their meeting at the same time. So we're going to be part of their meeting on one of those days. So all the veterans direct states, all the Lindsay Sins across the world, across the state, will be there. And we'll be part of that. And what's going to be interesting is we at the VA has just signed an MOU, Memorandum of Understanding, with the NAACP. So to look at trying to get more minorities in. And involved. And then also, I've been asked by the Department of Labor to sit on a panel on that Friday, the 23rd, on veterans and labor, and specifically minority veterans that they're coming up with. So I'm dipping my head back there. And I wanted to share that with you because the things that we're talking about here and stuff always goes back with me. I can bring enough information. That's all I have.
I'll just say that on December 8th, Bobby, myself, Eric, and Steve Vargas all have attended. We didn't discuss anything, so there were no Brown Act violations. So we all attended an event at Hangar put on by Angel Force on Veteran Suicide. And I'll say two things about that. One is I think it was really helpful that so many of us attended, and I'd like to see more of that. I'll also say that one of the central messages was suicide awareness among our population has to be there. And, you know, I haven't done as much as I pledged myself I would do, and I'm sort of recommitting to be more vocal about veteran suicide. But it's, and a big part of the problem is it's veterans you think have it all together and suddenly run into a crisis. And I just think that's really important, but also I really hope to see. I know I'm going to be at the stand down, and then at the Vet Rec Expo. So I hope I'll see some of my fellow ACT members. We won't talk about anything.
Hi, Councilmember Dorney.
And then to piggyback on that, I'll see you on Friday, and then I will see you on next Thursday. So. Team Red, White, and Blue, they're really promoting your steak thing. So there's going to be a lot of people there. I've been tying it with Team Red, White, and Blue, more geared towards the fitness side of the house for mental health, and you know, bringing in the corporal wing too to some events. Did the longest hike I've done in since 2017 when I got crushed by an SUV with my new hip, 6.5 miles. It took me 2 hours. Felt no pain other than blisters, but was with a bunch of veterans. And it was an amazing opportunity to reach out to the community. I had cards, I used them, I talked to people, doing more of my own outreach, making a concerted effort for 24 to now that we have all this in between time to really use that time to make meaningful outreach to our community veterans on a personal basis. So that's all we got.
Thank you. Okay. Well, that concludes today's agenda. The next.
Don't have any comments?
I gave mine in the executive committee.
That was the executive committee. That's
better. I'm not going to talk twice. I'm trying to get us out of here.
Don't tell her how to be the president.
All right. As I said, this concludes today's agenda. The next meeting of the Orange County Veterans Advisory Council will be on March 13th. It will be at the Brea Civics Cultural Center, City Council Chambers, 1 Civic Center Circle, Brea, California, 82821. And please do your best to attend because County Council will be giving us a presentation on the Brown Act, and it is very important that we attend. All I have, thank you, everyone. Do we need to make a motion to adjourn?
To adjourn?
No. Okay, we're just going to adjourn. Thanks, everyone.
Get the hammer.